Kjella låne med seg mer og mamma min med mer og dære. Fikk du mye putte der og mamma med på en satt og tok. Sitter hun ja vissja og lå i det va. I det venner seg på bakkalare der man er venner. Sitter vi ikke vann det ser bakkalare fikk jeg med.
Hello there, hello there. Thank you for having me on Progressive Radio Network. And this is Trends This Week with me, Gerald Celente, publisher of the Trends Journal and director of the Trends Research Institute since 1980. Woo! Time flies. You know, I just had a birthday, and I'm one of those baby boomers. Woo! A lot of years behind me. And, of course, Progressive Radio Network, listening to Gary Null, tells you how to stay healthy, keep healthy. And one of the lines that I just came up with is that the older you get, the more you have to do. And the less you do, the quicker you go. And boy, I'll tell you, I look around and I can't believe what people my age and even younger look like. And these obesity trends and overweight everywhere you look, everywhere you look. All this talk about, you know, people eating healthy. Yeah, very few are, you know, compared to the total population. And of course, one of our trends, top trends this year, is ready to explode. Bada boom. Yep. It's a rapidly growing American trend that is spreading across the globe. The obesity epidemic that is spawning costly and devastating health, social, cultural, and economic conditions that will worsen in 2019 and beyond. Despite what is being promoted on the surface as a growing, promising, healthy food movement in America and many other countries, more people are becoming addicted to fast processed food laden with salt, sugar, and unpronounceable chemicals with devastating results to health than those who are going natural. So when you hear about organic movements and how you're seeing so many organic, you know, foods being offered in America and how our food tastes have changed. Well, in 2017, only 5.5% of the food sold in retail channels was organic. As I say, you know, go down to any major supermarket chain store. And they'll brag that they're selling organic product. You see how tiny the selection is. It's a joke. So people are just gobbling down that fast food. And they eat it real fast. And they blow up quicker. So you take a look at the fast food industry. When I was a younger guy back in the 1970s, the industry in the United States had only $6 billion worth of revenue. Now, well over $200 billion. Oh, the change. You know, we're not going to use so much antibiotics in them foods that we're serving you with those meats. Yeah, great. And they brag about using less additives and more vegetables. But on and on. Americans are just eating more of that junk food. And the numbers show it. We're even dying younger. The U.S. ranked 43rd among 195 nations with an average lifespan of 78.7 years. And check this out. By 2040, Americans are forecast to live 1.1 more years. That's it. While dropping 21 spots in the global ranking to 64th. So as we're looking at these numbers, they're real. Overall, 180.5 million Americans, or 60.7% of the nation population over two and over, are either obese or overweight. And among the 70% of adults who are overweight, 40% of them are obese. Again, when I was a young guy, 3.4% of adults back in the 1960s were. The numbers are there. The Milken Institute did a study on American obesity crisis. They say in 2016, chronic disease driven by the risk factor of obesity and overweight accounted for $480.7 billion in direct health care costs in the U.S., with an additional $1.24 trillion in indirect costs due to lost economic productivity. The total cost of chronic disease due to obesity and overweight was $1.72 trillion, equivalent to 9.3% of the U.S. gross domestic product. Obesity as a risk factor is by far the greatest contributor to the burden of chronic disease in the U.S., accounting for 47.1% of the total cost of chronic diseases nationwide. Now, think about it. America, we account for just 5% of the world's population. We're weighing in with 13% of the total world overweight and obese people. So I mention this because listening to Gary Null and talking about all that he does and all the great products that he has and how beneficial they can be to you is very essential to consider. Because again, you know, we're this baby boom generation. That's another one of our top trends. Bye-bye boomers. Like I say, I'm not really good at math, but I've been here 72 years. I know there's not a lot left. And I don't want to end up as an inmate in a nursing home, as so many people are, plus the financial difficulties that so many are living through. So we have more and more in the Trends Journal about those kind of issues, trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com, and how to avoid the dangers and seize the opportunities. The future's in your hands. And the future, one of our top trends, by the way, as many of you know, I started talking about it when I came back on PRN after taking a break on September 19th, to be exact, of last year. I issued a forecast about a 9/11 economic terror strike. And that was 2 days before the S&P 500 peaked. And we saw what happened in December, one of the worst Decembers since the Great Depression. You know, people sometimes call me a futurist. And I say, no, I'm not a futurist. Nobody could predict the future. There are too many wild cards. Whether they're man-made or by Mother Nature. So, we just got dealt a wild card that changed our forecast. It happened this past Friday. We saw some numbers come out on jobs in the United States. And again, the job numbers are cooked to begin with, because once you're not employed, you're no longer counted as unemployed after you go through your after you collect your unemployment insurance. You don't get a job, you're still not employed, you're not counted as unemployed anymore. So when you look at the real number of the workforce, the labor force participation rate, the actual numbers, according to some people, are around the 20 percentile. But taking what the government's putting out there and calling those numbers real, Let's look at them. And look what the Federal Reserve just did. We just had the numbers come out on Friday, and they showed job growth of over 300,000 people. 300,000. Now that's good economic news, even though they're cooking the numbers. And then you look at the other numbers. I mean, this is really an upbeat jobs report. When you look at year-on-year wage growth, it was the highest since 2008. The highest in 10 years. Those are really, really positive numbers. So what did the Federal Reserve do? Well, we just heard from Jerome Powell. You know what he did. He made a speech after the numbers came out. We're listening sensitively, yeah, great language, to the messages, markets are sending. Now remember, the markets were in mayhem before this. We're listening sensitively to the messages, markets ascending. And he added that the central bank would be patient in imposing further rate increases, and that if we ever change, if we ever come to the conclusion that any aspect of our plans was causing a problem, we wouldn't hesitate to change it. Patient. Yeah, this guy should end up as a patient in a mental institution. This is the liar that came out in September when we made that forecast that said they were going to raise rates or put the indications out there, I should say, to be proper, that they were going to raise rates between 3 to 4 times this year, 2019, and one time in December. They raised them the one time in December and the market started collapsing. Now, Powell got trumped by Trump, because you know how Trump was complaining about those record high interest rates. They are not record high. He was saying they were crazy to raise them again. I want to be clear on that. They're not even nothing. When you're accounting for inflation, the overnight Fed rate was only around 2 to 2.25%. And now it's to 2.25 to 2.50. That's still very low historically. But the markets need that monetary methadone that the Fed shoots into the bull to keep it running. So Trump, Powell. All of the talk about they're crazy, the Fed, they got to stop raising interest rates, they're hurting the economy. The Federal Reserve buckled under Trump. Period, paragraph. It's there, it cannot be clearer. They buckled. So now we're changing our forecast, because when we made that forecast over and over and over and over and over, every time we made that forecast, we noted that should the Fed reverse its policy, it will boost the markets again. And that's what it's done. It's boosted them. And they're going to keep on going up for a while until the next crisis hits. Because what we have going on is a global slowdown. You look at the numbers coming out of Europe. They're terrible. Again, Germany, the strongest economies out there. Lucky to grow at 1% next year, or this year, I should say. Japan, negative interest rates. Negative interest rates in Europe, too, ECB. GDP numbers down, minus 2.5%. China, their real GDP numbers, according to most experts, around 5%. China was growing at 7%. Said they keep growing at 7%, then it was down to 6.5%. They said they keep growing at 6.5%, came into 6.3%. They said they keep growing at 6.5%, and now the real number is around 5%. So, there's a global slowdown going on, and it's real. But, again, for those of you who subscribe to the Trends Journal and watch our Trends in the News forecasts every Monday through Thursday, and as we go over this in detail each day, we showed how the Central Bank of China, People's Bank of China, PBOC, came out and said 2 weeks ago that they were not going to do anything to infuse growth into the economy. Well, you know what that is. That's BS. Because they're doing it already. They're lowering the bank reserve requirements. They're doing everything they can to shovel more money into the failing economy. It will prop it up for some time. The bubble is getting bigger. The global debt bubble, as we have been reporting, is over $250 trillion. And now, even the Wall Street Journal is using the number that we've been using, that people in our field know is the real number. When will that debt bubble explode? Who knows? They keep coming up with new Ponzi schemes, like quantitative easing and zero and negative interest rate policy. Those are unheard of. Again, that's why there's no such thing as a futurist. There's always the wild card. That's a wild card that they made up. All the banks are doing, the central banks, are propping up the casinos. That's it. That's it. They did it following the Wall Street plunge, the dot-com bubble burst, and they just keep on doing it. Remember, the U.S. financial markets had the worst December since the Great Depression. And then what else happened? Well, we heard our Treasury Secretary, Mnuchin. Mnuchin calls up the central banksters on the Sunday before Christmas from his luxury resort that he's vacationing in Mexico to ask him if they got enough cash reserves going there. And then on Monday, he puts together the plunge protection team. That's right. And then you saw the wild swings in the markets. Market would be down 600, closes up 1,000. Markets skyrocketing in the last hours of trading. Plunge protection team, you decide. Think for yourself. But as we see it, the Fed stepped in to pledge all that it has, so there's no significant market correction. You got to keep the gamblers happy. Listening to Powell, man, is like listening to gangsters to me. That's my opinion. Yep, Trump's Fed. Wall Street wins. It was the biggest ripoff in the history of the world. Part one and part two. Yep. Wall Street runs this country, and most others around the world are run by the financial elites. The facts are there. Talk about the bubble bursting. Think about it. It's burst. Since they put this gang in there called the Federal Reserve Bank, and again, they're as Federal Express. Think about it. I was just on with Dr. Ron Paul yesterday on Liberty Report. And he asked me, when will the bubble burst? And I said, I don't know. I said, they keep coming up with these new schemes. I said, but you're a man that is very knowledgeable of the corrupt central bank, the Federal Reserve, that Woodrow, may he rot in hell, Wilson, created, former president of Princeton. You know my line. Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks. He's also the low-life piece of mental garbage that got us into World War I when there was no need to get into it. The doughboys. Remember them, all those poor guys that were slaughtered? By the way, that's how I began to learn about war and why I launched Occupy Peace. When I was in high school and read All Quiet on the Western Front. Oh, you read that book about the guys fighting in the trenches. So anyway, I asked Dr. Ron Paul yesterday. I said, well, you know about the Fed. I said, how much of the value of the dollar has been lost since the Federal Reserve came into existence? And without skipping a beat, 97%, he said. That's right. Inflation was never a big issue in the 1800s. It is now, because they keep printing up phony money. 97% of the value of the dollar has been lost since the Federal Reserve gang took over the nation. And I love it. They met in Jekyll Island. You couldn't have a better name than that. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Yep. They Jekylled us, all right. It's one of the biggest ripoffs the world has ever known. And it's in a country near you, whether it's the Bank of Japan, whether it's the European Central Bank, or the United States Federal Reserve. We've got Randolph from Canada on the line. Hey, Randolph.
Hello, Gerald. Isn't there really two problems that it really is causing the difficulties? The first problem is that any of the earnings any corporations make outside of the United States are not taxable in the United States. They're not ordered. And the other problem is that instead of soaping up, sucking up the money, a surplus money by taxation, they're lowering the taxation. So if they keep pumping money into the economy, and it's not being utilized, and it's being saved, there's really no profit to helping the economy, to helping Main Street.
Well, you're right, and it goes very clear that tax cuts that Trump gave for the bank, for these corporations to repatriate their money overseas and bring it back to the United States the majority of that money, the vast majority, went into stock buybacks, over $1 trillion worth.
Sure.
Look what happened with Apple stocks. You know, even though they went down, they're back up now to a bit. They did $100 billion worth of stock buybacks. And they're BSing about all the jobs that they're going to be creating. That's where the money's going. The numbers are right there for anybody to look at. In the first quarter, there was about 11% of that money went into capital improvements. Declined rapidly, and now it's down to like nothing percent. So the money's just going to stock buybacks, and the tax laws allow the rich to get richer and the rest of us get poorer, and they lower the tax rate for the very rich, and one after another, the inheritance tax, on and on. So now you have the royalty, the financial royalty keeps perpetuating itself, and all we are workers in Slavelandia.
Sure. But it wouldn't be too bad if the company, like you say, Apple bought back, I don't know, a billion, I think you said. But if that went into the economy, if they spent into the economy, that would help the economy. But people who have the kind of money to be able to afford the stocks, if they're being bought back, what they do is they pour it back into the market, into the casino, instead of, or maybe saving it, instead of rolling it back into the economy. And I mean, these people don't understand.
Well, they do understand perfectly. They're rolling it back into their companies so they could get higher dividends and make more money. When you
sure.
have stock buybacks, you're pulling stocks off the market. It's supply
sure.
and demand. It artificially drives it up. They know exactly what they're doing. And that's why we said back when Trump gave the tax cuts, we said all you have to do is go back and look what happened when Bush did that back in 2005, 2006. Over 95% of the money went into stock buybacks, not capital improvements. They're not putting it back into the economy. They're not putting it back into capital improvements. They're greedy people that want more money. And that's why we have three people, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and Warren Buffett, have more money than half the population of the United States combined. And that's why you have eight people in the world, according to the Oxfam report, that have more money than half the world's population combined. So they know what they're doing, Randolph. They're greedy. It's not about we the people. It's about themselves.
But if they did do it,
but
it
if,
would benefit
if it's nothing,
themselves
if
also.
A criminal isn't, if a murderer isn't a murderer, if warmongers aren't warmongers.
Sure.
And there's another if I could say that we used to say in the Bronx, but I could never say that one on the air. But anyway, it's an if. If don't count. But so that's where we're at. So it doesn't look like it's going to change. Not with the kind of governments that we have in place, where all they are the puppets of the corporate pirates and the banksters that are running a country near you, whether it's up in Canada where you are, whether it's out in France, over in Italy, take a trip to Germany, wherever it is, go to Ghana, go anywhere you want. It's the few elites that are running the show. So we're going to be taking a break pretty soon. So thank you for calling, Randolph. And, of course, thank everybody as well for tuning in to PRN. And of course, it's always great being on here because it gives me the opportunity to try to help like Gary Null and all the other people do in helping people prepare for the future. And again, I don't give financial advice, but what I would suggest you do is look very closely at gold, because I'd said on this show that gold was going to bottom out at $1,200 an ounce, and it missed it by $15. It bottomed out at $1,185 so far, and now it's touching that $1,300 an ounce mark. Silver follows gold. People ask me about that. But so keep your eye on the gold market. And there's one other market I'm going to suggest that you look at very, very closely, because it's going to show us where the markets are really heading. And when we come back, I'll tell you what and where. Be back in a minute. Or two.
Thank you for listening to PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
This is Heidi Bogosian, co-host of Law and Disorder Radio. Tune in Wednesdays at 5 p.m. to hear timely analysis on issues concerning civil liberties, privacy, the right to dissent, and even practices of torture by the U.S. government and private corporations. Our guests are leading authorities in their fields from around the country and sometimes internationally. They include authors, lawyers, activists, scholars, and many more. That's Wednesday at 5 p.m. right here on the Progressive Radio Network.
Progressive Radio Network presents the award-winning Personal Computer Show, the original personal computer radio show of all things computing. I'm Hank Key, and my colleague is Joe King. The show can be heard each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN.FM on the Internet. We cover all things computing, and our viewpoint is always, what's in the best interest of the consumer community?
The Progressive Radio Network is a thinking person's network for our world's progressive visionaries and stakeholders and great thinkers to assemble on a commercial, free, and listener-supported network. Our provocative hosts speak freely and passionately on intriguing and urgent topics such as health and news and politics and women's issues and philosophy and more that directly impact our lives. Progressive Radio Network takes chances. Our voices and ideas are not always welcomed by corporate media, so Progressive Radio Network is a very important outlet for these great thinkers.
Zuma Bacala. If you marry that musician, he'll always have the trumpet in his hand. Oh boy. Whew. Good thing you're not around anymore, Louis. They'd be after you. Yep. No joking around anymore. Not allowed. That's one of our top trends also for 2019. America. Puritan 2.0. Yep. What a bad joke this country is turning into. So, on to some other news and information. I mentioned what to look for to see where the markets are going and where the economy is going. Actually, there are two things. Housing. And commercial real estate. Watch the numbers. Watch the numbers. The numbers are clear. They're going to tell you the story. The nation can't take a 5% mortgage, 30-year mortgage. So we've seen pretty big declines. Pending home sales. New mortgage applications, refi, home sales. Watch the numbers. So oddly, the 30 years drop from its 7-year high of 5% back down to about 4.5. So that might juice the market a little more. But watch those numbers. You could do that on your own. And the other number to watch to see where the global economy is going is copper. And we were kids, you know. I grew up in the Bronx and Yonkers. When we used to be playing out in the streets and a cop car would go by. You know, we're little kids, you know, like 8, 9, 10 years old. And the cop car would go by, you yell out, to one friend would yell out to the other. We'd be playing stickball out in the streets and stuff. What are pennies made out of? And the older guys would yell out, dirty copper. They'd shoot you now, man. Woof. Better watch out. Better watch out. In the militarized United States. Anyway, copper. Copper is used from everything from heavy industry to high tech. Copper is the indicator of where the global economy is going. And right now, copper is trading in bear market territory from its recent high. That means it's down over 20%. So what that's saying is that there's not a lot of confidence in the global economy as to economic growth. Also, extremely important when you talk about copper is China. Because they gobble up about between 50 to 55%. So, those are some of the issues that we're following, the factors that we look at, and concerns that we have. And of course, if anyone else would like to call in, the number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. On to some other international news. You know, let's go back a little bit. Well, before I go international, let's take national international. Yesterday, Trump gave that speech about the wall, you know, and building a wall, got to stop him from coming in, blah, 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 blah. One of our top trends, again, Trends Journal subscribers know this, and that's why it's history before it happens. Remember, this was our top trend. We put this out actually the first week of December, over a month ago. And one of them is human waves of people that'll be flooding in over the borders. Not only down in Mexico way, but way overseas as well. And what we wrote, across the continents, millions of desperate people are fleeing their homelands, risking their lives and those of their loved ones in hopes of finding a promising future. While it is headline news today, particularly in the United States, with the human caravan leaving Central America, so again, this is back when that was going on, and President Trump's vow not to let them in the United States, the human wave trend has been long in the making, and one of the trends that the Trends Research Institute and Gerald Celente have been tracking and forecasting for over two decades. Yet, whether in the U.S. or the millions of migrants and refugees escaping the Middle East and Africa flooding into Europe, the manner in which this trend is being reported by the media often omits the cause of the Great Migration. For example, while they note the abject poverty, corruption, and high crime rates, both the press and politicians ignore the coup d'etat regime changes and covert American influence in Central America that has destabilized many of the countries in the region. Also, virtually absent in media coverage are the American-led wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, etc., which have destroyed nations, killed millions, and displaced tens of millions. And as with Libya, a war launched by Nobel Peace Prize winner U.S. President Barack Obama, along with Prime Minister David Cameron of the U.K. and President Nicolas Sarkozy of France, long forgotten, are both the warning and the consequences of their violent acts of mass destruction that sunk Libya into chaos and a launch pad for migration. Quote, "Now listen, you people of NATO. You're bombing a wall which stood in the way of African migration to Europe and in the way of Al-Qaeda terrorists. This wall was Libya. You're breaking it. You're idiots. And you will burn in hell for thousands of migrants from Africa and for supporting Al-Qaeda. It will be so. I never lie, and I do not lie now," wrote Muammar Gaddafi, of course, the leader of Libya, a few months before he was killed in 2011. Yep. Oh, you remember how Hillary Clinton rejoiced the death of Gaddafi when she was being interviewed. I believe it was on CBS. How did you feel when you found out Muammar Gaddafi was killed and Hillary straightened up, put a big grin on her face, and said, "We came, we saw, he died." This trend is huge in so many ways. 1/6 of the world's people want to flee their home countries. That's the latest Gallup poll study. 1/6 of the world's adult population, some 750 million people, not including children, want to flee their home countries to escape war, poverty, conflict, and disease. And, again, Trump giving that speech yesterday, of course, which I did not watch, but I did read. It's like you don't want to watch him or any of them. In Latin America, 27% of the people want to leave their home countries. And again, to escape the aftermath of those coups that the United States keeps doing down there, propping up all those governments, the violence, the crime, and the lack of jobs. And that's a big one. The lack of employment. Because all we become are workers on the plantations of Slavelandia. Not only here, it's around the world. 26% of Eastern Europeans want to flee their devastation that's going on over there as well. And again, you look at the coups and the destabilization brought to you by, I know you Democrats hate to hear it, by the Obamas, by the Clintons, as well as the Bushes and the Carters, and the JFKs, and the FDRs, and the ons and the ons, along with the Republican murderers. 52% of Salvadorans and 47% of Hondurans want to escape the violence, poverty, and corruption. And this, of course, all these civil wars in the 80s and 90s. 48%. You take a trip over to Africa, of Nigerians, want to check out. But they weren't able to when Gaddafi was there. And then you look at the wars going on, the destabilization and the troubles in Africa, Sudan, major demonstrations, millions taking to the streets. Somalia had an election in Congo, but we still haven't counted the votes. It's one country after another. Destabilization. And we just saw a few days ago, President Trump just sent American troops to Gabon. Now, everybody knows where Gabon is, right? Sure you do. I say we got to send the troops over there to help the Gabonese. Yeah, whatever else you're going to make up. The reason they claim that they're sending them there is because they're expecting problems in the Congo. I said they had an election a couple of weeks ago. They still haven't counted the votes. And again, the Congo has been ruled by the same family for a couple of generations. Gabon over there, the same family has been running that one for nearly a half century. 50 years, imagine. So, now remember, Trump sends a letter to the House Speaker saying that appropriate combat equipment and supported military aircraft will be sent, blah, 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 and that more troops would be deployed to Gabon as needed. And again, this is under the guise that they're expecting problems in the Congo. Well, guess what? 2 days ago, there was a coup d'etat attempt in Gabon. Their leader had a stroke, and he's being treated in Morocco. The coup attempt failed instantly. So, I say to myself, boy, what a coincidence that is, huh? All of a sudden, we're sending troops to Gabon under the auspices that there's destabilization in the Congo, and we have to protect our personnel that are over there, you know, the embassies, etc. And all of a sudden, there's a coup attempt. And of course, the reason that the government gave for sending them to the Congo is, quote, protecting U.S. assets from possible violent demonstrations. U.S. assets, huh? Stay home. You got no business going over there. So, Dr. Paul, yesterday when I was on Liberty Report, asked me about Syria and why Trump backtracked. And I said, you know, I think he's getting pressure from the neocons, and they probably got a lot of dirt on him. And then I thought again after I got off the air, I said, that's probably not the only reason why. Because when you go back to December 19th, when Trump posted a video saying, quote, "Our boys, our young women, our men, they're all coming back and they're coming home now," meaning pulling them out of Syria. And then this week, they send over that U.S. National Security Advisor, John Bolton, and Pompeo, the Secretary of State, two warmongers, to go try to cool things down. Trump then tweets on Monday, "We'll be leaving at a proper pace while at the same time continuing to fight ISIS and doing all else that is prudent and necessary." Prudent and necessary. All right, number one, we're not there because we were fighting ISIS. We're there because the war criminal Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, and others, and you could look it up, Assad has to go, their language, the Syrian president. That's why we're in Syria. And the ISIS that they're talking about, and as I said, this is an affront against Italians. So how are we going to sell Italian ISIS? Anyway. The ISIS that they're talking about was created by the United States that is trying to overthrow the Syrian government and Saudi Arabia and the Arab League. When Obama, Hillary Clinton, Samantha Power, and Susan Rice decided, along with Sarkozy of France and that other little clown over there in the UK, decided, Cameron, to get rid of Gaddafi. Then they pulled those troops out and sent them into Syria. It's an illegal war. Illegal. Everybody listening has to obey the law to the letter of the law. But it's all right for the political war criminals to commit illegal acts that cost us trillions and kill millions, as the war on terror has in the last 20 some odd years, actually launched by George Bush Sr. first. Clinton was doing it too in Iraq, Kosovo, on and on. Illegal. And they get away with murder. So, going back to what I said to Dr. Paul about the pressure that he's getting from the neocons, there's another one. And I missed it when I was speaking, and I thought of it last night. Pressure from Israel. That's right. Israel illegally occupies the Golan Heights, as they illegally occupy so many other areas. The United States is so quick to attack and destroy countries for breaking international law, but Israel could do it at will. Israel doesn't want Assad in there. They want the Golan Heights. Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister who's under pressure for corruption charges, has stated clearly in his words that he will not permit Iran to be stationed permanently in Syria or to have bases in Syria. And Israel, it will attack those bases. Imagine. Imagine if Syria attacked bases in Israel. Oh, boy. Never. Who would permit it? But Israel could attack anytime they want. That's what's behind, and Trump is very favorable toward Israel, having moved the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He's very pro-Israeli. That, to me, is what's slowing it down. And all that Pompeo and Bolton are doing over there is spewing out more anti-Iranian BS. And that's why it's so important to occupy peace, because you can see where they're leading us. Remember, the website is occupypeace.com. We need your help to keep moving it forward. Because the war drums are going to start to beat. Netanyahu's in trouble. And when all else fails, they take you to war. The Saudis, not having a great time with these oil prices. They need oil at over $100 a barrel for their economy to break even. Right now, just about $60. War breaks out, bam. Oil prices skyrocket, and they do great. So consider Occupy Peace, occupypeace.com. Stop the madness, these idiots from running and ruining our lives. And the Trends Journal, trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com. And remember, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men and women. See you next week.
Sempre baccalare del mano bene. Se ci picchia bandesi.